Firstly, I'll actually start with you, if that's okay, Deputy Chief John Corcoran. It is hard to believe we're so far removed from an event that is so present in all of our minds, but some more than others. What are your memories of that day?
Well, I tell you, I wouldn't call them memories, but I would just say what was going on that day is beyond sadness what happened at that, but also the heroic members of our FDNY members who didn't hesitate to get there and go upstairs and try to make a difference at that particular fire. And to me, that's the what I think about, the men that went in and didn't hesitate. So
really quite remarkable, because it was clear how serious this event was, and those going in would have been fully aware of the danger, but still they ran in whilst the rest of us ran away.
Yeah, 10-4. That was, and I remember one thing. It was the first time the New York City Fire Department had a total recall, and I can guarantee you every willing and able body came in if they could, and they did, responding to their firehouse and leaving their homes and their families just come to New York City at that particular fire and make a difference.
You were off that day, John, weren't you?
Yes. Yes, I was off that day. And I grew up in Upper Manhattan, so I was very familiar with Lower Manhattan and the World Trade Center. And my first thought was there are helicopters / airplanes that do fly around in Lower Manhattan. I thought it might have been just some, you know, some terrible accident that happened. And and obviously I was dropping off my children, and by the time I get home, I was told it was definitely not an accident, and to come into the firehouse like now. And the firehouse I was working in at the time was in Harlem, 59 and 30 truck. So we all responded to that, and we went from there down to the Trade Center.
And when as it became apparent it was an accident, I don't know from your inside perspective, but certainly looking on, it still seemed unreal as to how events were unfolding, the use of planes, etc.
Yeah, there was rumors going on that you know, more stuff was going to happen and so forth. Back then, the cell phones, everybody didn't have cell phones like they do now, so one rumor just started going off saying that it's more planes are coming in, but I'll have to really tell you that it didn't matter to the firemen. They were going in. They were going in no matter what. And to me, that's an honor that I call myself a New York City fireman.
Yeah, indeed. And amongst those was Liam Flaherty. Liam, thank you for joining us. And I suppose your recollections of that day.
Yeah, you know, when I think of that day, you know, obviously tremendous sadness, but also tremendous pride, you know, that the way the members conducted themselves that day. Like, you know, it's been talked about, but, there was no world, you know, in existence where they weren't going to go into those buildings and do something for the people, you know, a quarter mile up in the sky. So, you know, they hit the stairs, you know. I was just watching a 60 Minutes on the 20th anniversary, and you know, Pete Hayden was talking about being in the lobby, and he was giving them their orders, and you know, they all had that look. They were all looking at each other, and they looked at him, and you know, he was sending them up the stairs, and he says, you know, they all knew what it meant to hit the stairs and go up, and you know, he said, I saw them hugging each other as they walked to the stairs. You know, it was just a, you know, that makes me you know, beam with pride. And, you know, incredibly heroic deeds. They evacuated 25,000 people out of both towers. You know, all the elevators were out. You know, dropping 60, 80 pounds of gear and hitting the stairs, you know, going up and, you know, doing what they can to help evacuate the people and, you know, try and get up to the seat of the fire, you know, which was a quarter of a mile up in the sky. And, you know, every guy took his assignment, you know, and walked to the stairs and, you know, and climbed stairs that they never came back down.
So much was sacrificed on the day, and those that survived too, unfortunately, many of your colleagues carry the scars of that day, the emotional scars, but also the impact on the health.
I apologize for not knowing the exact number now of how many, but we lost 343 members of the FDNY on 9/11, and it's well past that now, you know, with the health effects, you know, afterwards working on the pile and, you know, the dust cloud that was around Lower Manhattan, you know, for months afterwards. So, it's taking quite a toll on our job.
Yes, John, you would concur with Liam there. Obviously, the juxtaposition of pride of what people did on that day, but this terrible sense of loss on the day in the immediate days, but also subsequent to that, so many brave firefighters suffered the consequences of that day.
Like Liam said, we're definitely past 343 members that have died of 9/11 illness. And it's sad that there are probably hundreds that are feeling the effect of sickness now, even after this large number of people that have passed away. It's almost like you're waiting for your number to be picked with your illness.
Which is a terrible burden to carry.
Well, I think it's worse for the families. Us, we took this job. We loved this job. We wanted this job. We would have done everything the same way, same day, no problem. I think it's the families, the wives that continue, and the families running households and without their loved one.
So. Connor McGuigan, while greatly removed, there is a camaraderie in firefighters that goes around the globe. There's no doubt about that, Connor.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's a job. It's not just a job. It's a calling. As I say, it takes a certain type of individual to become like so a firefighter. It's a selfless job. Like you're not going in there to look after yourself. You're going in there to rescue people at their most vulnerable, where they need you most. You know, so. It definitely is a calling. It's not just a job. It's a calling. And it can be tough at times.
Yeah.
And it's the effects that you're dealing with. Like, it's not been necessarily in the moment. Whenever you're a firefighter, you get into a zone, you're a job to do, you're working, and you have a task to perform. But it's the magnitude of that task. Like, you sit back, reflect on it, think about it. Well, geez, it's not until after you've performed your duties until you realise the severity of the situation or the incident that you just after being attending, you know. So,
and of course, you know, we're reflecting on 9/11, but here at home, it's not that long since you and your colleagues and other arms of the emergency services and civilians dealt with the Chrysler explosion. And in terms of, you know, the weight of an event, having to sift through that rubble and pull people to safety or recover bodies, you know, those that were involved in a day like that, another attending a road traffic collision or what have you, you can get a sense of the, you know, what's left or what you leave behind in a job like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, as I say, it's the aftermath, and that's what John said. It's the families that have to deal with the afters, you know. So, like, yeah, that can have a long-term effect on things. And then when things come around, anniversaries and stuff like that, it stirs up a lot of emotions, not more like from the firefighters' aspect, but also you feel for the families directly impacted by these situations, you know. So, yeah.
Liam Flaherty, what have we yet to learn or put in place since that awful day?
I just like to reflect, you know, as far as firefighters go, I say firefighters worldwide, we're all the same person. We just have different accents. So
yeah.
I'm appreciating hearing the from across the pond there, hearing the brogues, as we call them, you know, in the United States. But you were asking, like, what else from that day? I'm could you just rephrase the question?
Yes, I was saying, you know, I mean, we're talking about now, you know, going through the days and weeks in the immediate event and the aftermath and the great damage that has been caused, some of it unavoidable. But are there any lessons that we should have learned that we haven't acted upon yet?
Well, you know, as a job, you know, the FDNY, like, there was some pretty big monumental changes afterwards, you know, in honor of the brothers that we lost, you know, like, kind of, again, the way firefighters are, you know, when there's gunfire or there's a threat, we all charge towards it. And on that day, you know, we paid dearly for it. We lost, like, you know, we lost 342. We lost a lot of our command staff, you know, a lot of big chiefs, including the chief of department, Pete Yancey, and the first deputy commissioner Feehan. You know, like, there was never losses like that ever in the fire service. So we changed a lot of stuff. We did responded to, like, major emergencies. We instituted incident management teams. We, you know, when we were rebuilding the fire department after 9/11, you know, we were expecting to get hit, you know, like within weeks or months with another strike, some kind of terrorism. So that's become a really big thing now, you know, in our training is, you know, recognizing, you know, terrorism and, you know, being able to adapt and, you know, deal with those types of situations, you know?
Yes.
We paid a heavy price, but we did learn from it. But, you know, especially communications and all that stuff.
Yes, and John, you're nodding there in agreement with Liam.
Yeah, 100%. He's correct. We learned an awful lot. We also have now a counterterrorism unit dedicated to collect information and to pass on to the members out in the field as best as they can. And also the equipment, the our Marine Division has been brought up to top-level speed as far as boats and radio detections and so forth. We have definitely learned, but I wanted to bring out one point, and I think you'll really appreciate this, everybody involved here. Of all the 343 members that we lost, and I just read this, over 63 family members from those members that passed and got killed that day became New York City firefighters.
Wow.
And to me, that's a testament that, hey, listen, FDNY, it will always be here, it will always be strong, and it will always be one of the greatest fire departments on this planet, in my eyes.
All right. Well, we've got lots to talk about, John, but I know you're commuting and you're busy, and I really, really appreciate your time, especially having to hold you a little bit longer than we intended. We were all part of that, you know, in terms of the impact of it. I remember watching it with my brother, and I remember seeing your colleagues, you guys running in there. And even as it was developing, the sacrifice was clear. So, John, we thank you. We thank your colleagues as well. And thank you very much for joining us.
God bless. Thank you very much.
Before you let the chief go, if I may, Chief, would you like to say anything about the ride that we're doing, the Ride for Resilience from Boston to New York City?
Yes. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks for that opportunity. We're riding for the Friends of Fire to Boston College.
Okay.
September 10th.
Yeah, it's breaking up, and I was anticipating that, and I was going to come to you exactly on that subject, if that's okay. Nancy, founder and executive director of Friends of Firefighters, before we get on to what we're talking about today, and this is this fundraiser, I just wanted to give listeners some context, because we can quite easily forget, and we shouldn't. Talk to me about why your organization was established.
I think initially when this happened, everyone wanted to help and they all helped in their way. And I went to a local firehouse. I had five friends on the job. They all survived. But I was raised with a reverence for firefighters. My mom's uncle was killed line of duty at a 14 truck. So I was raised knowing that they were a cut above, as my mom used to say, they were a cut above, and that they wouldn't need anyone's help. My background was postpartum. I would do doula work. So I would work with the families where the baby did not survive or was quite ill. So for me, I took those skills that I did have that I didn't realize at first. I was just helping the firefighters with what they said they needed in the moment. And at the time, it was bunting for the houses, buglers for the smoke services if they did locate a body, and if they didn't, they would have services anyway. So it was just doing what I could, and then close to Christmas time, I was asked if I could start a counseling center. I'm not a counselor, but I was trusted with what I thought was a huge responsibility, and in that trust, especially from anyone in the FDNY, I did not feel it was a choice. I felt it was a mission. So I did do it gratefully.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the whole purpose of the conversation is we're commemorating the 2,977 civilian lives lost. And of course, to honor the firefighters killed, not just in the immediate aftermath of this terrorist attack, but subsequently. How important, I wonder, in the process of sort of recovery and coping and dealing, are events like this, you know, just to further emphasize that camaraderie that's there?
The first one we did was from Dublin to Kinsale, and we did it as a fundraiser. And I think what shocked all of us was how much each of us got out of it, particularly the firefighters. So they felt not just a closeness, of course, that's Liam said it, it's a tribe, you know, it's international, same people, different accents. But everyone that went on that first trip got so much out of it. And I will say one of our riders had been in a terrible, terrible fire earlier in the year. We did not expect him to ride, much less come. We didn't think he would come, and he did come, and he felt that it was life-changing, because after that fire that he was in, he was almost killed. He was in need of, he needed to be with his brothers and sisters. He needed to have time to just, the focus was getting to Kinsale, but really it was very, I don't like the word healing. I like moving forward and building a new normal. That's, you know, it's not going to ever be what it was. But then they did it again last year, and it was just as successful. And we said, we're not leaving New York City for the 25th anniversary. You have to come here. So we've got a whole lot coming over,
including a number of Donegal firefighters, Connor. It's a wonderful way, isn't it, to actually demonstrate that brotherhood and sisterhood, but that brotherhood as well. So how pleased are you and your colleagues to be taking part?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Go on, Connor. Go ahead.
Go ahead,
Connor. Yeah, so as Nancy said, like, I've been involved with the first one as well, from the 2024, from Dublin, the embassy in Dublin, take the Garden of Remembrance and Kinsale. Yeah, it's definitely a change of something inside you whenever you're riding alongside a group of people with very similar vocations, you know. It was, as I say, Nancy put it, was very healing for different things going on. People had different things going on in their lives and different emotions going through. And then for the fact then we all landed together on the anniversary. And it was just, it was surreal, to say the least, you know. So I'd say now I've been honoured now that I was part of last year's ride, and I'm honoured to be a part of this year's ride as well. So, like, it's not just about, it's remembering the 343 as well. Every mile matters for every firefighter lost on the day. But again, it's the people that have passed away since with the illness as well, after that as well. So now, yeah, yes, definitely, it's great to catch up with friends that we've made in the last 2 years. So.
Yeah, and I think it's really telling that the fundraiser is to raise awareness, but also to raise funds for Friends of Firefighters Live Strong and the Boston Fire Cancer Foundation. A critical part of the work that any charity organisation does is fundraising, Nancy. So support from anyone listening who is touched by this conversation would be greatly received from wherever they are.
I'd like to add that the organization Friends of Firefighters is quite strong now, and I thought it would be 2 or 3 years, and we're at 25, and it will easily go another 25, because firefighting will always be a dangerous job. Mm. I'm very pleased and a little bit surprised that firefighters are much more comfortable asking for help now, and they call. We had so many firefighters call last year that we had to put them on a wait list. Granted, you know, we don't do that with anybody that's in a crisis, but it was not something I liked to do. But it did illustrate that we need to raise more money to meet the needs.
Yeah, because it's not just those presumably directly affected by 9/11. You know, it's a tough job. We've heard about that. We know about that wherever you are. And there will always be a need. And it makes you wonder what was there before the likes of your wonderful organization.
Well, Counseling Services Unit with the fire department did exist. It was much, much smaller, and it really dealt with, I think, at the time, people that were having difficulty with substance abuse or alcohol. And it completely changed, and they really did step up themselves. But we filled that gap where a firefighter is not comfortable going to their employer for counseling. So that's why we exist. So we have unlimited free sessions. We also serve the families and retirees.
Okay, fantastic. Connor, so talk to me now. What's the plan of action and how can we here support you? But in doing so, support Liam, support John, support all the colleagues, support Nancy and her colleagues in the amazing work that they do.
Yeah, so what's to say, Greg? The Donegal Firefighters Association has all the information on our Facebook page with all the links to the different riders, six riders running from Donegal, but it's all been pulled into the one pot, if you know what I mean. So if you like a rider or you know one of the riders, you click their link and then you can donate via the links, and that'll all be gathered in the one pot, and it'll be shared out amongst the charities, you know. So yeah, we're the plan of action is we're flying out on Saturday morning coming. We're part of a group. Like there's a group of 30, actually. There's six of us, and then we're joining up with the others from the rest of the country, and we're going to all join up in Boston, meet up there, and then hit the road on Sunday, and hope that the wind is at our backs, you know.
You're well used to the wind where you're leaving us from, and Nancy, you know, it's so bittersweet, isn't it? It's born of the most tragic of instances, that terrorist attack. But then here we are, you know, hands across the world, raising money for the great work that you do, the Boston Fire Cancer Foundation, Live Strong. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that we've got people from all over the world really descending to show that support. It's light, isn't it? It's a shaft of light from that awful dark Absolutely. Events a quarter century ago.
Absolutely. I think for us, you know, for me, the second day after 9/11, I went to the city with my daughter to see if we could give blood or help. And the lines were a mile long, and so many people were there from out of state, and that always puts a lump in my throat, because that gave us strength to know that we weren't alone. I will add that I brought you two of the best firefighters. They're both, well, Liam, I tease him, he's the Superman of the job, and Chief Corcoran is beloved by all, so I'm glad that they were able to make it. They, you know, both of them are first generation, and you didn't tease him, Connor. Liam's family dropped the O when they moved over here at O'Flaherty. That his aunt kept, but his father didn't.
I was saving that one for the end.
Yes,
yeah, when you see him.
I was going to say, you have to say that to him face to face if you dare.
Yes.
Well,
yeah. You might not want to. He's 6'5", well, I think.
That's precisely what I was saying. Connor McGuigan, thank you so very much. Our appreciations to Deputy Chief John Corcoran, Liam O'Flaherty, he can't see me. I'm only joking.
He's known as Flaherty.
I know that. Liam Flaherty and you, Nancy Carbone. We're going to put the links to all of the information for people to support on our Facebook page. But for now, thank you very, very much for joining us.